All right. Everybody ready?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. All right. Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov.
All right. God is good all the time in Hebrew. Kol Zman. Friends from Israel say, now you know y'all mispronouncing that. It's beginner Hebrew, okay? Kol Zman. All right. So, I just want to say our friend Marty that I have not forgotten about your testimony and to get with you, but I'm going to probably have to save that till Friday when I have free time. And a young lady who called me today from Nebraska too, I need to get back with her. But I won't have any time till probably after Thursday class, right? Or Friday. So and then I'll be able to get back to everyone. But Marty's message about, hey, the church, the Lord is coming. Jesus Christ is coming. Is that what he said in his testimony? He said, "The Lord tell, go tell, tell the tell." When he died, right? He died. And he said, "Tell that the Lord is coming.
Yes.
That the rapture is soon." And he says, "But the church is not ready." So, and there's a lot of people that aren't ready. I got a phone call from a kid that I worked with in juvenile hall the other day, and he's into horrible sin life, right? Mm. But he has convinced himself that he already got saved. God knows what he's doing. He knows it's wrong in the Bible, but as long as he believes. If he's sinning, it won't matter because Jesus' grace covers everything. And I'll say, well, you could stop. Well, you know, I don't have to. The way I see it is this. I was like, it's like he totally convinced himself that you can sin as much as you want. You can still stay in sin and still be saved. He's convinced himself of it. And I was sitting there and I was like, wow, I can't believe that, you know, that doctrine has penetrated people so deeply that they feel like, you know, God will tolerate any sin that I'm in and I'm still gonna be saved and it, you know, because, you know, grace covers everything. And it was a deep conversation. He was calling because he was in town and he wanted to know if I wanted to come see him. And I said, well, did you get out of the lifestyle? And he's like, no. He said, me and my fiance. And I was like, psst. I mean, he's talking about a man. He wasn't talking about a woman. Talking about me and my fiance. And I was like, dude, it's crazy. I don't know, but he thinks like God's okay with it. It's just the way I am, and I'm gonna. I know, and he really truly believes that he's okay, you know. And I, and the Lord told me one thing though, until a person disagrees with the Spirit in them. The Spirit will always stay with them. Mm-hmm. You have to come out of agreement. Two can't walk together unless they agree. And so the Lord told me, like, don't even worry about it, because I was going to call him, like, you can come to Bible study, you know, come to church. And I'm like, the Lord's like, it's not going to do anything any good because he has to come out of agreement, okay? And he's in agreement with the sin. And it's crazy, but that's where we are in the church. Now you ask him if he's saved, he will say, yes, me and my fiance both are. And I was like, ah. Okay. Marty's thing was that the Lord is coming and the church is not ready. I don't think anybody's ready for what's about to happen. I have been studying this week and looking into the state of earth right now, the state of how things are right now. And this place is so set up for tribulation, yeah. It is absolutely crazy. Yes. And the church is not ready. Everyone's thinking that, you know, I can play church, and as long as I believe there's a big guy up there, yeah. I'm going to be okay, you know. And I'm telling you, the Bible is going to be true, and the liar is going to be a liar, okay? No matter how much you feel like you're doing, you know, you feel like you're doing the right thing, the Bible is always going to remain true.
Amen.
I want to make sure that we understand that the Lord is coming. But I want to show it to you through Scripture, because the whole thing that I'm trying to express to people is this. In 2016, when I prayed and I fasted and I came out of the fast, and I said, Lord, what do you want me to do about 2017? That was what I said going into it. What do you want me to do about 2017? What is it that you want me to do? And so I fasted and I prayed, and when I came out, I said, okay. And the Lord said, one thing, it will be as it was in the days of Noah. Now, the exit day of the church should be the biggest thing on the minds of every Christian, and it would be awesome if it was on the mind of every human being. Because it's the next event in the world that's going to shatter the world, okay? So this event is coming, and most Christians aren't ready for it because they're compromising with God. Like, I know you say it's this, but, you know, you say it's homosexuality, but I say love is love. And I know, and the Bible says, Ana Yahweh Lo Shaniti. You know what that means? I am God. I do not change. So sin will always be sin. Yeah. Fornication will always be fornication. You know what I mean? Everything that God says is still stands. He hasn't changed his mind on sin. Okay. Lukewarm is still lukewarm. Okay. It's still, everything is absolutely still the same. So we have to, show people that the Bible is true, though. Because if you don't believe the Bible is true, if you believe that we have a book, no more. I read the Quran and it has no prophecy. Mm-hmm. Okay? There's nothing that tells you what's going to happen before it happens. Okay? What the Bible does is says, I'm going to show you, I'm going to put in the scriptures to listen to this person, okay? So this is what I'm trying to penetrate into the hearts and minds of born again believers. And I can't believe, like, someone said, they said, what is his name, Amir Safati? They said he doesn't know anything about the Psalms, the 120 year count in the Psalms. And he's from Israel. He's a great Bible Christian and Bible teacher, and I love him for his updates and everything, but I don't understand why people don't understand that the Psalms have been measuring out 120 years for us, and that we should be alert and alarmed about it, okay? So I wanted to look at two Psalms before I get into what I really want to talk about, which is what happened in 1967. But let's go to Psalms 47, okay? Now, I'm doing this as if everybody knows already, so I'm gonna give a little background so people who have never heard this before can hear it, okay? But we go to Psalms 47, okay? Now, the Bible has 66 books for a reason. Each book is based on a letter. Each book is strategically set in the Bible to be precise by God. Psalms is the 19th book of the Bible. Why is Psalms the 19th book of the Bible? Because God specifically chose Psalms to prophesy to us everything that's going to happen from 1901 to 2020. Which is the year that we're about to be in, because we're not in it until March 26th. Mm-hmm. Okay, in March 26th, it'll be the 120th year. In God's eyes, it'll then be 2020. So God put Psalms as the 19th book of the Bible. Now, Psalms 1 tells you exactly what's going to happen in 1901. Psalms 2 tells you exactly what's going to happen in 1902. Psalms 3 tells you what's going to happen in 1903. And it continues on like that. Year after year, God prophesies what's going to happen in the Psalms all the way up to the 120th Psalm. Then we get to 120th Psalms and it says, now this is the Psalms of ascent. This is the Psalm of going up, okay? Now, that's the basic of what I want you to know and understand before we get into this. We'll talk about that. Okay, now, you have Psalms 47? Okay, look at the sheet that, the notes that I gave you, okay? Now, what happened November 29th, 1947? The United Nations General Assembly passed a resolution calling for the Palestine to be a petition between the Palestine to be petitioned between the Arabs and Jews, allowing for the formation of the Jewish state of Israel, right? So in 1947, the UN assembled and decided the land that is Israel, we have decided that we're giving this land back to the Jews, and this between the you and the Arabs to split the land and to make sure that the Jews have a homeland, because this is the land that God promised them, right? Now, it says right there, in November 29th, 1947, the United Nations General Assembly, right? In Psalms 47, why Psalms 47? Because it's the 19th book of the Bible, and it's the 47th Psalm, which makes it what? 1947. It says, the nobles of the nations assembled as the people of God of Abraham, for the kings of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. So who met? The nobles of the nations, right? All the leaders from all the nations met in 1947, and they came up with the idea, we're giving the land back to Israel, but it's in Psalms 47, letting you know, and it starts off, the nobles of the nations, this is Psalms 47, verse 9, the nobles of the nations assemble as the people of God, of the God of Abraham, and it says, this said, because God controls their hearts. Yeah. And they decided Israel's going to get their land back. Now, we don't have time to go through 120 prophecies, but if we did, I could show you all of them were fulfilled from Psalms 1 all the way to Psalms 20, okay? Now, let's look at the next one. In May 14th, 1948, in Tel Aviv, the Jewish agency chairman, David Ben-Gurion, proclaimed the state of Israel, establishing the first Jewish state in 2,000 years. When did it happen? May 14th, 1948. Now watch this. Let's go to Psalms 48. Okay, Psalms 48. It says, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise in the city of our God, his holy mountain. It is beautiful in its loftiness, the joy of the whole earth. Like the utmost heights of Zephon is Mount Zion, the city of the great king. God is in her citadel. He has shown himself to be her fortress. When the kings of the joined forces, when they advanced toward together, they saw her and were astonished and fled in terror. Trembling seized them there, and pain like that of a woman in labor. You destroyed them like the ships of Tarshish, shattered by the east wind. The crazy thing is, this is just how it happened. When they got into the land, all the kings, all the Arab lands, gathered together and said, we got to get them out of there. Then they fought a war and God won the war for them and then settled them in their land and they stayed right there in the land, okay? And then in verse 8 it says, as we have heard, so we have seen in the city of the Lord Almighty, in the city of our God, God make her secure forever. Make who her? Her is Israel. Make her secure forever. Because in 1948, they came back in the land and they fought a war and they won and they've been in the land ever since, right? So now we see 1947, God prophesied exactly what he's going to do. 1948, he brings them back. He puts it in the Bible so that 2,000 years before the event happens. And so now you know that the God who wrote it, it is the one who caused Israel to return to the land, right? Right. Now, in 1967, Israel still did not have Jerusalem, okay? It was still in the hands of the Arabs. But do you think God knows that 19 years later they're going to get back Jerusalem? Yes, because he knows that they fell 19 years apart and now they're going to be recovered 19 years apart. Israel, and now it's time, 1967 is time for Israel to be captured and brought back into the hands of the nation. Now, let's look at this, because what I wrote on the board, let's go to Isaiah chapter 37. Okay. Now, I'm going to call his name. His name is King Sennacherib. And this king was a terror. Okay. He had been going from nation to nation, kicking butt, throwing their false gods in the trash, taking all their material, taking all their land, killing their people, and he was going from nation to nation, just whipping butt, okay? You say, and taking names, right? So he's, and so this was a very vicious king, you understand? Now it's time, he says, well, I just conquered this land, okay? And I mean, we're not talking about one or two lands. He's like, he's on number 9 or 10 by the time he gets to Israel, okay? And when the king Hezekiah gets the letter that that Sennacherib is going to invade Israel, you know what he does? He goes, oh my God. This guy has whooped everybody. And now he wrote a letter saying, I'm coming to get you next. So let's see what he does, okay? And it says in verse 37, when King Hezekiah heard this, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and went into the temple of the Lord. He sent Eliakim, the palace and administrator, Sabatna, the secretary, and the leading priest, all wearing sackcloth, to the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos. He said, go get the prophet, okay? He said, they told him, this is what Hezekiah says. This day is a day of distress and rebuke and disgrace, as when the children come to the point of birth and there is no strength to deliver them. It may be that the Lord your God will hear the words of the field commander whose master, the king of Assyria, has sent to ridicule the living God, and that he will rebuke him from the words of the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, pray for the remnant and that still survive. When King Hezekiah, the official, came to Isaiah, Isaiah said to him, tell your master, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid of what you have heard, those words with which the underlying and the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Listen, I am going to put a spirit in him that when he hears a certain report, he will return to his own country, and there I will have him cut down with sword. When the field commander heard that the king of Assyria had left Lachish, he withdrew and found the king fighting against Libna. So this king's still out beating up people, right? Now Sennacherib received a report from Tirkakh, the Cushite king of Egypt, was marching out to fight against him. So now, listen to what's going on. Now, this king of Egypt, this Cushite, this black king, has told Sennacherib, we're not going to allow you to run over Israel. We're coming and we're going to come to war against you. Okay? So this black king in Egypt wanted to help the Jewish people out. Okay? Now listen, he says that we're marching out against him. And when he heard it, he sent the message to Hezekiah with these words. Say to Hezekiah, okay, so Sennacherib says this. Say to Hezekiah, king of Judah, do not let the God you depend on deceive you. When he says Jerusalem will be handed over to the king of Assyria. He said, surely you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the countries, destroying them completely. And will you be delivered? Did the gods of the nations that were destroyed by my forefathers deliver them? The God of Gozan, Hazran, Rezeth, and the people of Eden who were in Tel Assar. Where is the king of Hamath, the king of Arpad, the king of the city of Sepharvaim, or Hana, or Iva? He says, so he's telling them, look, all of these kings, he's talking, I'm going to lay you out. I'm going to lay down to you all the kings that said that God going to save them. All right. These are all of them. And I'm coming for you next. Okay. So Hezekiah says, okay, I need to pray. Hezekiah received the letter from the messenger and read it. Then he went up to the temple of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord. And the Lord God of Israel enthroned between the cherubims, you alone are God over the kings of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Give ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your ears, O Lord, and see. Listen to all the words Sennacherib has sent to insult the living God. It is true, O God, that Assyrian kings have laid waste to all the people and their land. They have thrown their gods into the fire and destroyed them, for they were not gods, but only wood and stone, fashioned by men's hand. Now, O Lord, our God, deliver us from his hand so that all the kingdoms on earth may know that you alone are Lord, are Lord our God. So listen to what he says. Now, after he prayed that, okay, after he prayed that, Isaiah says, okay, I'm gonna go back to God. And God says, don't worry about it. Tell him he won't lay a hand on you. He won't even set a foot in Jerusalem, okay? This fight is over Jerusalem. So Sennacherib gets all of these armies and he sets the men out on the border of Israel. Okay? The people are on the other side saying, we're not fighting. It's like, they're like, if God don't do something, we're done. Okay? The angel of the Lord comes in the middle of the night while the army set up to destroy them and kills 185,000 of their troops. They wake up in the morning to go to the border to see if the army's still out, and they see 185,000 dead men. And God delivered them.
Yes.
Who prayed that prayer? Lord, deliver us. Show the whole earth that you are God, right? Okay. So let's go back to your paper.
Everyone at home should have one, Pastor David.
Amen. Okay, so in Isaiah 37, verse 20, this is Hezekiah's prayer. Now, Lord, our God, deliver us from his hand so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you, Lord, are the only God. Okay, Psalm 67, verse 1 and 2. My God, this is how it begins. My God, be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us so that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. Why would God put that prayer in Psalm 67? Was something going on in 1966?
Yeah.
Let's look at this. In 1966, it says here, 1966, Egypt began beating the war drum again. This is not 67, but they began beating the war drum again, insulting the resulting conflict between Israel and Egypt led to two major wars, the Six-Day War in 1967, and the Yom Kippur War in 1973. It says, there seemed to be a prophetic parallel in the Psalms to 1966. Syria and Egypt and the Russians all embarked on new political ventures, uncertain of 1966. It says, CBS correspondent reported, he went on to say that three different levels of dangers confront Israel. The lowest threat was from the Palestinian Liberation Group. The higher levels was from Egypt and Syria. But the greatest level of threat was coming from Russia, who wanted to dominate the Middle East. Now, all of these are saying, we got to get rid of Israel. And this is, so in 1966, all Israel heard was what?
Yeah.
They going to kill us. Egypt is getting military weapons from Russia. Syria is getting military. Other Arab nations wanted to join and said, once you get it started, we'll join in. So in Israel's head, they're thinking in 1966, we've got all these nations. And so the feeling of a threat of war was coming. Just like with Isaiah and King Hezekiah, the threat of war was coming. So in 1967, God takes the prayer that Hezekiah prayed in Isaiah 37 and begins it in Psalm 67 because of what? There was a threat of war, and now in 67, there's a threat of war. So God says, I'm going to put that prayer in 67 because I'm about to do the same thing again for Israel. And what was his prayer in 37? Deliver us so that the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are Lord, or you are God, that you, Lord, are the only God. Psalm 67, 1 and 2. Be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us so that your way may be known upon the earth, your salvation among the nations. So God took Hezekiah's prayer and put it in 67. Why did he put it in 67? Because he knew war was going to come, just like it did in their time, and God was going to rescue them. So Israel did a preemptive strike, knocking out the Egyptian Air Force, and from that point on, they dominated the war and destroyed both Syria and Egypt, and Russia decided not to get into the war because of fear of other nations. So God's prophecy of winning a war for Israel in 1967, you would have to go back to Isaiah to see he put it in there. Yeah. Make yourself known to the nations. Why? Sennacherib was killing nations. Yeah. And now he says, Lord, they're about to come up. But when you rescue us in 67, the nations are going to know that God is on our side.
Amen.
So Psalm 67 was fulfilled. You see that?
Yeah.
So that means 1947 was fulfilled, 1948 was fulfilled, and now we see 1967 is fulfilled, and we're going, okay, God has not only written a book, but he's telling us what he's going to do before it happens. The same thing with Hitler, right? He used Haman. He says, okay, Haman wants to kill all the Jews, and he has 10 sons, so I'm going to make it that Haman ends up dying, and his 10 sons get hung. Then you get to Hitler, and he says he wants to kill all the Jews. I'm going to make sure he dies, and all of his 10 henchmen die. And I'm going to put the year that's going to happen. And he put the year inside of Esther so that we'll know.
Yeah.
Okay? So this is the God that is telling you to be ready, because I'm coming, and two will be in one place, one will be taken and the other one left. Okay? This is the God that's telling you this. This is the God that's saying, in Genesis chapter 6, this God says this, verse 3. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with men, for that he is also flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. God told Noah, you have 120 years to build this ark, because my spirit is not going to always contend with man. And you know, the word that we read here says strive. In the Hebrew, it means I will not always contend with men, meaning contend for their affection, contend for their repentance, contend for them to live right. He says, I'm not going to always do this. He says, in 120 years, my spirit is going to be done contending with them, and judgment is going to come.
Yes.
120 years pass by, and God says to Noah and his family, go into the ark, for I find you righteous in this generation. Why? It was the 120th year was over. It was over. And now it was time for judgment. Since 1901, God has been calling the nations to understand that righteousness through Jesus Christ is the only way to live. Within the last generation, you have the rebirth of the nation of Israel, which is prophesied in Psalms 48 and in Deuteronomy 30, chapter 5, which is the 5708 number, which is the Hebrew number for 1948. So God has prophesied through the UN giving the land back, through 1967, the war, and God has protected Israel through this whole thing. And now we're living in what the Bible calls the last generation. We come to the last year and we're seeing everything happen. Now they got a peace deal on the table in the UN. All kinds of crazy stuff is going on. Now they're trying to get this pestilence going so they can destroy the economy. And we haven't even entered the 120th year yet. Not till March 26th will we be in the 120th year. But the Lord says they're not ready. Why aren't they ready? Because when men sin, they don't want to repent. And now everybody's caught up in this Nicolaitan doctrine that the more you sin, the better, because the more grace you get. And, you know, I'm so thankful for one thing. I have not found a way to market God yet.
Thank God.
And I don't want to. I don't want to market God. I don't want to put packages together and sell them for $19.95. And I don't want to do that. If God teaches me something, I want to teach it to you freely, okay? But we've got churches that are marketing God, okay? And everybody thinks we're getting away with it because they forget about one thing, that God said a flood is coming. Okay.
Amen.
Who's? Okay. Let's go over to your next page on the. Listen, Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 12. He asked Jeremiah, "What do you see?" Okay. But this is what he says. He says, "The Lord says, you have seen correctly, Jeremiah. For I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled." Listen who's talking to you. The king of prophecies of make everything come true just said, "I'm watching over my word to make sure that they get fulfilled." Do you know what they were going to do to the Western Wall in 1967? Do you know that they already had construction equipment already set up, and they were ready to tear open the Eastern Gate and tear this whole wall down so they could build a hotel there?
Yeah, I remember.
And the Six-Day War happened. They were supposed to begin construction on the 7th of June, but the Six-Day War happened, and the Jews were now on the mount on the 6th of June, and so they removed all the equipment, and the Eastern Gate never got open. But God said in the Old Testament, this gate shall remain closed until the Messiah comes. And if God would have let them open that gate, that means he was not watching over his word. So they couldn't start the construction, and the Six-Day War stopped them.
Amen.
Okay? So this is the God that we're taking lightly, okay? Because this God says, two will be in one place, one will be taken, the other one left. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I am coming again to take you, that you may be where I am. So he's coming for his church to take you to be where he is. That means we're going up. We're going up. We're going up to tabernacle with God, which is the reason for the 15 Psalms of Ascent. We're going up to the temple.
Amen.
Okay. Now, if you're on that page, listen, the number 1967, what does it mean? What's the first meaning of 1967? The power of God. So God gave the numerical value to the power of God to be 1967. Why? Because that's what I'm going to show you in 1967. I'm going to show you, no matter how many nations come against Israel, you're going to see the power of God. And the whole world saw the power of God on that day. The word... this is what I wanted to let you know. The word in the Greek for weakness is 281. Seven times 281 equals 1967. So your weakness equals what? The power of God. Seven times your weakness equals what? The power of God. You understand?
Wow.
So this is why the scripture says in Corinthians, I believe 2 Corinthians 13:4, though he was crucified through weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you, okay? Because our weakness brings forth the power of God. In 1967, they were weak. They couldn't have protected themselves. Only God could intervene in that war and win it for them in 6 days by giving them the strategy. It's like the king who was being threatened, Hezekiah. He had no power to overcome, but in his weakness, God is made perfect in weakness.
Yes.
Second Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. For this thing I sought. This is Paul talking. He said, I sought. He said, I had something in my body that was buffeting me, right? That was giving me problems. And Paul said, I went to God 3 times in prayer, asking him to remove this from me. And he said, for this thing besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in what? Weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So, in weakness, God is made strong. And that's what he did for Israel in 1967. So now let's go to Matthew chapter 24.
15 minutes.
All right.
Matthew 24?
Yes. Someone wrote me a big old long thing. There's not going to be any rapture. I said, why are you worried about that? You ain't going. I mean, you got a whole lot of other things to argue about. You ain't going. Why you arguing? Why worry about it? If we're leaving and you're not, what you mad about? You don't have to get on me and tell me. You're not going, so don't worry about it.
None of your concern.
Yeah, you can. That's none of your concern. You're an unbeliever out, you know, scoffing people. This is not your concern. You were not invited to the party anyway.
That's good.
So here we go. Now listen, you guys. No one knows the day or the hour. This is what scripture says. This is the scripture that the world uses to say, we could have 100,000 years left because nobody knows. Yet, Jesus drills it down for us as he's talking here, okay? Because everybody wants to say, now, not knowing the day or the hour is not the same as not knowing the year or the week or the month, okay?
That's right.
So, God, Jesus says, you should know what season you're in.
That's right.
God is fulfilling prophecy so that you, even Trump fulfilled prophecy in 2017 by proclaiming Jerusalem. That was a prophecy that was fulfilled. So God showed you as late as 2017, I'm still in the game.
Yep.
So we have to listen to his words. So listen to this. No one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. What was it in the days of Noah? 120-year countdown. What do you think it is now? 120-year countdown. I thought it was 120 Jubilee countdown,
right.
But that wouldn't have equated to 120 years. That would have been 6,000 years, because 6,000 is 120 Jubilees. So I thought this thing would be over with in 2017. I'm thankful to God that he meant no an exact 120-year count. So from 1900 to 2020, we've counted it down. We've counted it down. And now we're at this moment. He gave us a lot of signs in 2017. Signs in the stars, in the skies, in the moon. I mean, red moons, blue moons. Yeah. He gave us every sign. He said, before I come, this was going to happen. Yeah. There'll be signs in the sky. Yeah. Okay? So now we get to the 120th year. We're not there yet. March 26th, we will be. But I guarantee you, if you tell people, get ready for the coming of Christ, as Christians, they're going to say one thing to you.
No one knows
the day and the hour. Not really? Because I'm looking for him coming. Not I'm excited to get out of here. It's not that mentality.
Right.
Even though I read last Thursday in the class that the scripture says that we should be heavenly minded and we should keep our minds on things above and not on the earth. Yeah. Most people are earthly minded and want nothing to do with heaven unless something bad is going.
Right.
Okay? Okay. So Jesus says, it's going to be, he says, for as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. Okay? I'm trying to tell you guys this for one reason. The coronavirus is, and I'm not saying it's a lie, but I'm saying it's being perpetuated yeah. by the media
yeah.
to
yeah.
drive down the economy
yeah.
and to put people in fear.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
When you got CNN, ABC, NBC, and it's all they can talk about, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Everything is about the coronavirus because they're trying to push this. Look. The most hated president in the history of the world is who? Donald Trump. Why do people hate him? ABC, NBC, CNN, right? Because we tell you to.
Right.
Whatever the media says is true, the populace is going to say it must be true. Donald Trump's a racist. Everybody says Donald Trump's a racist. Whatever the media. So now they're going coronavirus, coronavirus, coronavirus. But the scripture says when the Lord comes, people will be eating, sleeping, marrying, and giving in marriage up until the day, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm letting you know, we're not looking at the whole world falling apart. You're not looking at it. Put your hope in Jesus Christ, okay? The world is not falling apart. Put your hope in Jesus Christ and put your hope in what he said should be your blessed hope, which is his coming.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So now it says people will be eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up until the day Noah entered the ark. So everything was going as normal up until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen till the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other one left. Now, who just told you that? God.
Yes.
God just told you that. Unless you don't think that Jesus is God, because he's the one that wrote the word of God is Christ.
Yes.
Unless you don't believe that the Bible is written by God. God is telling you that this event is going to happen. So every Christian in the world should be believing God. Why? Not because you're religious, because he's a God that makes prophecy come true. He doesn't say things and then not fulfill them. And then it says he's watching over his word to make sure. So I want to guarantee you, and I'll bet you dollars to donuts, in this 120th year, two people will be in the one place, one will be taken and the other one left. If you're the one that's left, that means either you weren't invited or God divorced you because of your lifestyle that you thought you were a Christian and it was not fulfilling. So I want you to know this day, I'm not guessing that the day is coming. I'm telling you the day is coming. He has prophesied that it's coming. Why do you believe him? Because everything he prophesies is, he said that the temple was going to be destroyed in 70 AD, and it was destroyed in 70 AD. Everything is prophesied. Who are we to tell God, yeah, I believe everything that you say, and I see that you fulfill every event in history, but this part, I just don't know. But we live like that. So we don't tell our family members. We don't warn people. And we live as if he's not really coming. But he's coming. And judgment has a thing that once it happens, once grace is removed, okay, you can't do anything to retrieve what you lost. Amen. Your opportunity to be in the rapture is now gone, okay? You can't go back and say, Lord, open the door for us. We were out getting oil. You can't say that because the opportunity is gone, okay? You can't say, Noah, please throw a rope over and let us on the boat. You can't do it. Noah's going to say exactly what it says. For 120 years, I've been preaching this to you, and you haven't believed. So we have to understand, look, I'm not into religion to be religious. I'm into truth so that I can give you truth.
Yes.
And the truth of the matter is, the God that has prophesied every event in the world is telling you the biggest event that's going to hit the world is right upon us. It's right at our lap. It's right at the doorstep. And this event is going to change the world.
Yes.
We need it. We need it. We've got to get a whole lot of filthy things out of this world.
Yes.
And we need the Lord to begin a cleanup process. The tribulation is about the cleanup process. It's about getting sin out of the world. Because we're coming back. Because Christ has got to return to the earth. And it says when he returns, he's coming with who? With all of his saints, okay? So when he comes back, he's coming back with us. So we need to understand that God has a plan to clean up the earth, to get the Nephilim gene pool out of the earth, to get men with evil hearts out of the earth, to get filthy television out of the earth, filthy movies out of the earth, filthy mouths out of the earth. He's coming for a cleanup process, okay? Only people surviving the tribulation will be the righteous. You understand that? Because even when he lands, he says he's going to say, sheep, get over here. Goats, get over here. And even if you survived the tribulation, if you had not confessed Christ, he still separates. And he says, these will come in with me in everlasting joy and those into everlasting contempt.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's still going to judge.
Yeah.
Only people that's going to survive this is people who want to live righteous. I want to thank the guy that asked me that, hey, if God is really prophesying every year in the 1900s, 1967 should be in 67 of Psalms. And I don't see anything about a war in Psalm 67 because he hadn't studied where Psalm 67 came from. Psalm 67 is the prayer of Hezekiah, who won a war by the strength of God. So he put it in 67 because someone's going to win a war. Why? By the strength of God. He said, in Hezekiah said, let all the nations see that you are the only God. In 67, he says, let all the nations see that you are God. Right? Same thing. It's the same prayer.
Yeah.
He's just letting you know. God's letting you know. I already knew it was coming.
Amen. What about the board, Pastor?
I think everything that we said was about the board. It was on the board. We never turned to it to look at it. Mm. They have
book.
You think we'll go to the board tomorrow because we'll do some homework tomorrow too. And I just want to say this. When God called me to do this in 2004, Pastor Ben,
yeah.
When God called me to do this, he told me it was going to be hard. And he's led me in every way. He led me to the 6,000 year count, so we knew when 6,000 years was over with. Amazing it ended 5777. Because that's exactly the year that, 5 years before the flood, right? So, God has done a lot to show all of us that he's coming. Man is without excuse. Man is without excuse. Do I have 2 minutes, Pastor Ben?
You do.
I want to get people saved. I really do. And I understand getting saved is a hard process. Ask God about me. Like, it took a long time to get you just to confess that I was Lord and to want to repent. But if you can give them the gospel, and if you can find a heart that's ready to accept the gospel, you can save someone from what's coming.
Amen.
Fear shall come upon them for what's coming upon the earth. They have no idea what they're going to see when we leave.
Amen.
The demons that they think that they watch in the movies, things that come upon the earth are going to come upon the earth. Okay? The things that are cast down from heaven to the earth are going to come upon the earth. Okay? We haven't seen anything, but we see the root of evil in the world that needs to be removed. I want people to get saved. Preach the gospel. You can never get anybody saved by saying the rapture's coming. Because to them, that's not instructions. That means get scared.
Mm-hmm.
Accept Jesus, the rapture's coming. Well, why should I accept Jesus? Because you have sinned. All of us have sinned. We've all sinned. So, and we all need our sins to be paid for, because in the spirit realm, all sin has a life sentence of death.
Yes.
So we all need to be covered for those sins, because our sins carry a penalty. You can bypass your penalty by accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
Amen.
And offer them the good news. What's the good news? You don't have to pay for your sins if you repent today and accept Jesus Christ as Lord. So I'm hoping that everybody understands what I'm trying to say. I am passionate about us leaving. I am passionate about March 26 becoming the first day of 2020,
yeah,
the 120th year. And I'm watching every day after that. And we'll look at the days, second month, 17th day, Passover, Pentecost, any day that is a possibility,
yeah,
we'll look at.
Yeah.
But we know that when he blows a trumpet, that's when it happens. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. All right.
Amen. That's it?
Yep. That is it.